Turn in your Bibles today to Colossians chapter 4. I thank all of you who fixed food and who are praying for the Stegalls. Peggy Boyd is working today. She called several ladies and got fixed food, and I had her pick up some rotisserie chickens at Walmart, and we took that over. Sam and Amber were here for a Sunday school class thing with Jerry's class, so they received the food here, took it over to the house, and Joy and I picked up a ham and cut it in half and left half of it at home, and we fixed the other half for them and took it over there ourselves and met Sam and Amber coming out the door. And so they got a good big meal for 2 days probably off what was brought. And thanks to all the ladies who fixed and everybody involved and Sam and Amber. I don't know when Amber's going to quit doing stuff, you know. She's past being ready, but she's once she has the baby, she's gonna have to slow down just a little bit. She sure hadn't up to now. She went skating a few days ago, you know. And I think you didn't bowl the other night. Is that right?
No, I went jogging in the morning.
You went jogging that morning, okay? When I rode a motorcycle, people told my wife, you know, to drink castor oil and have me ride her back and forth across a railroad track on the motorcycle. You know that. It didn't help. No, we didn't try. first baby, she'd pick green beans all day in the garden, and we went out to eat that night at a seafood place, and then we went to a movie. We weren't saved then. We went to a movie theater. We're sitting in a movie theater in a movie called Papillon with Steve McQueen. They cut this guy's head off with a guillotine. She grabbed me by the arm and said, "I got to go to the hospital." Okay. Poor little guy was a manager of the theater. His name was Laddie Parrish from Rock Hill. He's a little bit related to me. He was a teenager. He about went crazy. A pregnant woman needing to go to the hospital. "Can I call the ambulance? What do I need to do?" "No, I'll drive her to the hospital." Colossians chapter 4. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Let's pray. Father, as we look in your word, help me today to help your people through the word. May the Holy Spirit work in our hearts, enlighten us into the understanding of Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw last that Paul's letter to Colossae and Ephesus had a very close companion passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. He spoke of the Spirit-filled life. And in Colossians, he spoke of the Word of God producing, both of them, joy and rejoicing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. It reminds us that we're to live for Christ day by day. We're to rejoice in the Lord. As Christians, we're to be thankful for what we have. We're to show it in praise to God. We're to show it in an attitude of joy. And we shouldn't be people that murmur and complain and have a sour attitude. I know we can all get that way at a period of time for whatever's going on with circumstance. If we get our focus off circumstance and get it back on God, we can praise God again. We can rejoice again. We can be thankful again. And as a Christian, that's what we need to show the world, that we have something in Christ that the world doesn't have and they need so desperately. We saw the admonition last week to men as fathers and husbands. And we saw the admonition to the wives as ladies and wives, and we saw the admonition to children to obey their parents. Y'all heard that right here, right? Children, obey your parents. Y'all heard that, right? Okay. Just want to make sure you got me. And chapter 4, we continue that thought of the masters and the servants. Now, I compared servants and masters to employers and employees in our society today. That we have responsibility as Christian people to be a good worker, to be honest, to be faithful, to have all the characteristics of godliness in how we work, how we do our job, how we try to do the best job we can possibly do, because whatever we do, we are to do it to the glory of God. And we're to do it with all our heart. You know, we're to do a good job. Then as an employer has a responsibility to treat his employees fairly and to pay them a fair wage and to show them respect and to recognize that they too have someone they must answer to. And that is God, ultimately, that they will answer to. So we should treat other people the way we want to be treated and pay a fair wage as an employer and try to help people. As a Christian, it's our job always to try to help somebody as best we possibly can. We love the Lord, we use things, and we're to love people, not use people, so we can have more things. First of all, today we pick up chapter 4, verse number 2. The subject is prayer. He said, continue in prayer and watch the same in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. This is called a prison epistle. Paul was in prison. He was in bonds. He's writing a book of the Bible or a letter to the church at Colossae, which is now called a book of the Bible, while he is imprisoned. And he speaks about joy and rejoicing and praising and you know, keeping you focused on the Lord. So we pick up this subject of prayer. It says, continue in prayer. I think this church is a praying church. He wants them to continue in what they're already doing. But I think there's more to it than just that. I think he's saying endure. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. And if you keep praying and you grow as a Christian, you'll grow in your knowledge of how to pray and to be effective in prayer. The Bible says in James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to be that, don't you? I want to be the righteous person that can avail with God in prayer. I'm not trying to change God's mind. I know He knows far better than I do. He knows what's going to happen next week, next month, next year, and in the future. And so when I pray to God, I'm not praying to change His mind about something. I'm praying to know His will and that His will be done on earth, and that's how He wants us to pray. It's okay to tell God what you want. You know, Lord, I'd love to see this happen, you know. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Just recognize it may not happen exactly the way we want it to happen. So we're to continue in prayer, and then we're to watch. To watch, to be on watch, to be alert, be aware, to expect, to think through what could happen so we know how to pray. Every parent does this for their kids. Your kids go out of your house and they go somewhere, they're not with you, you pray they're going to be safe, you pray they're not going to be influenced wrong, you pray they're going to be protected. You know what could happen if they have a sleepover. They could learn something they didn't learn at home or learn in Sunday school real quick, you know, depending on who they're sleeping over with. So you pray harder, you watch. I used to be amazed when I was the chaplain for the Fort Mill High School football team for 5 years, and went to every football game for the varsity, and I spoke to the team on Thursdays. I preached a sermon to them. I ate meal with them on Friday and went to the games. For 5 years I did that, and I was amazed at the stadium, how many young people in school were just wandering around during the football game. Their parents had just dropped them off. Left them there for the football game and then would pick them up when it was over or they got a ride or whatever. No supervision, not knowing what to do. They couldn't have told you what the score was or who was playing. They were out there in the parking lot or out there in the front area, the common area at the football stadium, just being teenagers, you know, just goofing and talking. But some of them sometimes could get into trouble real easy. It's important that we watch, that we think through, that we know that could happen. That you don't have to hold their hand all the time, but you could go sit in the stadium and they'd think, you know, my mom and dad's down there, I got to behave myself, you know. You're watching, you're praying, you're thinking through, you're being aware of what could take place. Always with thanksgiving, the Scripture says. Prayers is something we must always be thankful that we can pray. Be thankful to God for all the good things He does. Don't wait till you get ready to pray to think about, oh yeah, I forgot to thank God for that last thing I prayed, and it worked out. And you know, I need to remember to thank God. Let's be thankful all the time to God for all the blessings that He gives us. Now, prayer is as old as man, as universal as religion, as instinctive as our thirst or our hunger. Prayer springs from the heart of need and from the heart of appreciation and from the heart of seeking for God's will. We are to continue in prayer. We're not to faint, as he said in Luke 18. Turn there with me, if you would, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Keep your bookmark here. We'll come back. There'll be plenty of time to come back, I promise. Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus began to speak in parables to his people. He said, chapter 18, verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Continue in prayer. That's what Paul wrote to Colossae. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Continue in prayer. Don't stop praying. And then look down with me, if you would, at verse number 9 in this particular parable. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and that they were righteous and despised others. Talking about the Pharisees, the publican. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It is a reminder to us to pray in the will of God, to pray in sincerity, to pray in humility, and we are to pray. Both these men went to pray. They had a reason and a purpose. It was the same to be there for prayer. The Pharisee prayed in pride, thinking because he was worthy of God, he would be told by God how much better he was than others, and he was self-righteous in his prayer. The publican came in humility, aware of his unworthiness, confessing himself as a sinner, and asking for mercy, and he got the answer to his prayer. So, what is prayer? In Matthew 7 and verse 7 and 8, go there with me. Book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. Jesus taught in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. And he compared that a man knows how to give a good gift to his child. He wouldn't give something that would hurt him or harm him. And God gives to his people. When we know the will of God, we ask and receive. That's praying, to ask of God. We know God's will and we ask God to perform His will, we know that we have a confidence that we will receive that. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, and if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. So praying in the will of God, we are to knock and seek and we will find. Prayer is seeking, finding when we don't know the will of God. We ask when we know God's will, but when we don't know God's will, we seek to know God's will. Lord, I don't know Your will in this circumstance, but I pray. And the Bible promises that when we pray in sincerity, and we have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit makes utterance for us that we cannot utter before God. And He knows what is best when we're praying in sincerity for circumstances and people and whatever the need may be. But we ask and we receive. We seek and we find. Lord, help me to know what You would have us to do here. Prayer is knocking and opening to find the open door for God to do what He wills. We pray that God will respond when we pray, when we seek, when we ask, when we knock. Asking and seeking and knocking is an invitation for God to work in our lives. Too many people just don't ask. They just don't pray. They're so accustomed to doing things for themselves that they don't ask of God. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Isn't that a simple thing? And yet we find ourselves so many times struggling with circumstances and we really hadn't prayed about it. You know, just stop and pray. I can't tell you how many times working on a motorcycle or a car that I have just stopped because I was so frustrated I was ready to throw a hammer at it. Or Bobby told me his brother hit a car in the hood with an axe one time. He told him, say, hit it again. That kind of start after you hit it twice, you know. So then his brother chased him around the house, you know. Well, it can be so frustrating working on stuff like that. The bolt won't fit. The nut won't go on the bolt. The washer's lost. You know what? So many times I have just stopped and said, oh God, please help me. I am just so frustrated and I don't want to get angry and mad and lose my temper and beat on this thing. And I'm praying you'll help me to get it to work. Pop, bolt goes right in. Put the nut right on it. Everything worked out. Stop and pray. You have not because you ask not. We make intercession when we pray. We pray for others. We intercede for them in the same way Christ is interceding for us at the throne of God. We are being godly when we pray for other people, when we intercede for them. We give adoration and praise and thanks and confession of our sins when we pray. In prayer, we seek our needs to be met. That is supplication. When we have a need and we pray with an earnestness because there's a need. Jesus taught his disciples to pray for their daily bread. If you ever get to the point you don't have your daily bread and you have to pray for it, Louisa Stead wrote a song. It's in our hymn book that we sing. Her husband drowned trying to save a boy from drowning. And there was no Social Security and no welfare and all of those kind of things in that day. And she prayed, and someone brought groceries and things like that to her house. She saw the hand of God move people to do in response to her prayer. Missionaries pray that way all the time. They have needs. And God moves people in the United States to send money to do something that they can't do when they're in the field or wherever they may be. In prayer, we seek our needs met. That's supplication. We watch in prayer, thinking through what might happen. We make requests and we give praise. Pink said in his book on prayer, prayer is homage of our hearts to the giver himself. Humiliation, supplication, and adoration. The scripture speaks much about prayer. Prayer is asking, prayer is seeking, prayer is knocking. So why do we pray? Let's go back to, we saw Luke 18. Let's go back to Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So why pray? We pray because Jesus taught his disciples that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We pray because it is an imperative in the Greek language, which is a command. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why pray? Because Jesus said so. Because prayer is God's way for us to communicate with Him and ask of Him and to offer praise to Him. James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. Prayer will deliver you out of trouble. Psalm 34:6. Every Christian sitting here has had some circumstance happen in their life and they've prayed and prayed and prayed and God delivered them out of their trouble. He may have not done it the hour you wanted Him to or the day you wanted Him to, but He did. He was teaching you something in that time. I stayed in traction in the hospital for 14 days. I never knew why. I witnessed to everybody. There was a Jehovah Witness preacher in the hospital there. I witnessed to him. We argued back and forth. Not argued, but, you know. I gave him the truth, and he gave me his false teaching, you know. And I didn't know why I was there. Still don't know why I was there. I spoke in the chapel on Sunday morning with a bathrobe on. People ask me, you ever preached in a robe? Yeah, one time. It was a bathrobe. I was in pajamas and a bathrobe. And I spoke on the thief on the cross and preached the gospel of Christ. It was on the radio through the rooms of the hospital, so anybody that wanted to could listen. I don't know how many people did. I don't know why I was there. Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You might be that poor man one day. You can be poor financially, or you can be poor in health, or you can be poor in your emotions, or whatever it may be. You don't have an answer for something. You can't meet a need. You're poor in that area. Because prayer can unlock the treasures of God's wisdom. In James 1:5, if we lack wisdom, let us ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Pray because Jesus prayed and taught his disciples to pray, and we pray because there's joy in prayer. John 16:24, Jesus told his disciples, ask in my name and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So we pray. That's why we pray. Secondly, how to pray. Matthew 6-9, Jesus gave the model prayer. Matthew 6-9, beginning there, he gave the model prayer. In that model prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said prior to that, do not pray like the hypocrites do. Out in the street, standing on the street corner, a loud prayer so everybody will hear them and see them, and they pray around the world and long prayers and all that sort of thing. Jesus said, don't pray like that. Go get on your knees at home in your closet and pray. Pray in secret. And the Father who seeth thee in secret will reward thee openly. And people know that came from God as an answer to prayer. When we pray to the Father, we're to exalt His name. Hallowed be thy name. The word Halloween comes from that All Hallowed Eve. The Catholic Church All Saints Day on November 1st. The eve of that is called All Hallowed Eve. And that's where the word Halloween comes from, when they run off all the spooks before All Saints Day. That's the tradition of that name. Hallowed means God is holy. We pray His will be done. We pray for His coming kingdom. We pray for our daily needs. That's about the only place in the Bible you find that we're to pray for forgiveness. And we must be willing to forgive others. Normally, for the Christian, we're to confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We pray for deliverance from evil. Remember, you don't know what you're going to face. Better pray the Lord protect you, hedge you about, keep you from evil this week. You don't know what you're going to go through. Pray in faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we don't have faith, we doubt when we pray, we're like the wave of the ocean, just going back and forth. Doesn't have any purpose, you know, back this way, back that way. We're to be constant and consistent and be people of faith. Where do we pray? Anywhere you can. Anytime you can. Today you can't pray at school. You can't pray at the government meetings. You can't pray in a lot of places today. But you can commune with God anywhere, anytime. And that's what we need to do. The disciples' prayer life was improved greatly after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, when they received the Spirit and Christ had been ascended up into heaven, before that, they went to sleep when Jesus prayed. Jesus was in agony going to the cross. Sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. His disciples, who said they loved Him and believed in Him and followed Him, went to sleep while He prayed. He woke them up and asked them to pray. And they went back to sleep. Now they meet in the upper room for 10 days, seeking the promise from the Lord, and it comes. And they went house to house. They were daily steadfast in doctrine and prayer in Acts 2:42. They prayed in Acts. They prayed for Peter, who got imprisoned, in Acts chapter 5. And there they went to the house, which was their church, and they prayed, and the Lord released him from prison. Where do you pray? Pray everywhere. Pray at church. You go to the temple to pray. You pray driving down the road in the car. You can pray anywhere. The temple, the church, the house, daily prayer. We know there are hindrances to prayer. 1 Peter 3:7 tells us that there's a problem. If there's aught between the husband and wife, it will hinder our prayers. James 4:3, if we pray selfishly outside God's will, it will hinder our effectiveness in prayer. Matthew 5, if we're unforgiving to other people, we can't get forgiveness ourselves. If there's unbelief, it hinders our prayer. And if there's unconfessed sin in our life, it hinders our prayer. God answers the prayers of His people. He said, "Abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." He told Joshua to be courageous and to meditate day and night in the Word of God, and he would find his way prosperous and good success. Sometimes the answer is immediate. Peter was sinking in the water. "Lord, help me." And immediately Jesus raised him up out of the waters. Sometimes the delay is for a purpose. Lazarus is dead. He waited 4 days. And then when he went there, he'd been in a tomb for 4 days. There was a reason for that. That God would be glorified for man to see that Christ could raise a man from the dead who had been dead for 4 days. There was a reason for the wait. Sometimes we pray and God says no. Or sometimes the answer is different than what we were praying for. God knows tribulation builds patience, and adversity drives us on our knees to God to pray when we're in adversity. We find all kind of adverse circumstance. Adversity gets our attention and humbles us, draws us to pray. Adversity from chastening of God shows us God's love as our parent and desire for us to repent and get back on the straight and narrow path. Adversity is a call to self-examination, that we look into our own life, we look in the mirror and see if we're doing something that's causing what we're going through. Adversity conquers pride. Remember that verse about pride and a fall and a haughty spirit and all that? I was going down the road one day, it was snowing. I had 3 or 4 guys in the car with me. We were coming back to work. One guy said, "Boy, this is bad. You better be careful." I said, "Man, I ain't worried about it. I ain't never had a wreck." Bam! I hit the guardrail. Flipped the car around the road. Bam! It hit the back of the car. A little overconfident there, wasn't I? It will humble you. It'll make you recognize that the flesh is not impressive to the Lord at all. We shouldn't boast. Adversity reminds us of our limits and our weakness. Adversity can drive us to cry out to God in prayer, like Israel did under the taskmasters. They cried to God for deliverance, and God raised up Moses. It wasn't one day that Moses showed up and led them to Israel. It took a process. Mark, bump those air conditioners up a degree on each side. Some of these ladies are freezing to death, looks like. I'm sweating, got the fan running here. Hard to keep a 300-pound man with a coat on at the same temperature level of a lady with a dress on. So, prayer is a great part of our armor of God. I'm almost through. In Ephesians 6, the Bible says we're to pray always with all prayer, asking, supplication, watching. In Vietnam, when we would go through the jungles for 60 days at a time, we would stop and we'd usually get a high place, a hillside, and we'd dig in. We'd set up a perimeter and we'd dig a hole and we'd get in the hole and we'd set claymore mines out in front of us and we'd pull 4 hours of guard before we go to sleep, and then somebody else would come get in the hole for 4 hours. And we would, you know, load up with magazines and everything, get ready just in case, because we're watching, expecting something could go wrong. And that was the watch. Israel divided the night into 3 watches. The shepherds were watching over their flocks by night. They were in watch. when the Lord came for the announcement. The angel said to them, "Come and see." Rome, for their soldiers, divided the night into four watches, which is more common. We would pull watch. To pull watch, it takes giving up some sleep. It takes some adversity. It takes staying alert. And it takes being responsible. And then, when we watch, give thanks. We give thanks in every prayer. God supplies our needs. And it's God that we can pray to and ask for His help. Go to sleep at night. Don't worry and fret. God's awake, watching over us. Trust Him and believe Him when we pray. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the faithfulness of Your people. We ask You blessings on the invitation time. If there's someone who doesn't know Christ, we pray for them. Pray for this one lady that came and left that we have no idea what, you know, her thinking is. So we pray for her today. We pray for our folks that are sick. We pray for Jody and her dad. We ask, Lord, that you know our desire would be for him to be raised up and restored to his family. We pray for Your comfort for them. Pray for the Stegall family that You would comfort there and meet the needs this week for the funeral service, the visitation, and all that goes on. Now, God, bless this invitation right here, right now. We pray in the hearts of Your people, and if there's anyone lost, we offer them an invitation to come and understand from the Bible how to be saved. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.